Basically, if you think of all the functions to run a medium-sized organization, it's the finance, the accounting, the HR, the operations, the marketing. And so as you try to bring in higher-level leaders and invest in talent, a small burger chain can't afford to bring in, let's say if the person you want to hire is a great operator, a chief operating officer, you know, Hat Creek on its own volition, let's just say, couldn't afford that. But now that we've got scale and more restaurants, more units under management, now we can. And so we could bring in a stud ops person. And if you extrapolate that out into all the disciplines of an organization, you know, ultimately you're able to sort of scale and expand based on restaurants under management.
Welcome to Franchise Empires, where aspiring entrepreneurs learn exactly what it takes to become a successful franchise owner, from one location to 10 and beyond. I'm the Wolf of Franchises.
One, it's the Wolf. Today on the show, I'm interviewing Drew Grissette. In 2008, Drew was a fresh college graduate, and he started a food truck. Today, that food truck has now grown into his 26-location burger chain called Hat Creek Burger Company, which is in the Austin, Houston, and Dallas metro markets. Along the way, Drew also got into franchising, and today he owns 60 Zaxby's restaurants with even more on the way. This is a great episode for anyone who loves entrepreneur stories, as well as anyone curious to hear from a seasoned restaurant operator in the QSR space. Enjoy.
The Wolf of Franchises is the CEO of Wolfpack Franchising, as well as a creator at Workweek Media. All opinions expressed by The Wolf and podcast guests are solely their own opinions and do not reflect the opinion of Wolfpack Franchising or Workweek. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as a basis for investment decisions. The Wolf, Workweek, and Wolfpack Franchising may maintain positions in the franchises discussed on this podcast.
As listeners to this show, you know how much I emphasize scaling and growing your franchise operations. And since I care so much about operational efficiency of your business, there's a recommendation that I'm excited to share with you. WorkStream is the smart software solution designed to streamline your operational efficiency at your franchise locations. 25,000 restaurant locations use WorkStream to automate the tedious parts of hiring so you can source, screen, and interview applicants quickly by leveraging cutting-edge automation. Plus, you can streamline your employee onboarding process by going digital and simplify payday with a payroll system built specifically for restaurants. Learn more by visiting workstream.us/thewolf and tell them we sent you. Once again, that is workstream.us/thewolf. I know you own Hat Creek, man. And I think 62 Zaxby's?
Yeah, 60 Zaxby's, correct.
Which came first? You get into Zaxby's first or Hat Creek Burger Company?
No, Hat Creek came first. I started Hat Creek in 2008.
As a food truck, correct?
Food truck, downtown Austin. Kind of always had the...
A lot of food trucks down there.
A lot of food trucks. more now than then, but even then there was a lot. And kind of, yeah, I had the unique idea of getting in the hamburger business.
What was, life-wise, what was going on back then? Do you have a family? Like, you had a college?
I had graduated college and was getting married the same year and just kind of pushed forward and tried to just knock it all big life changes in 1 year. So I got married in July and started Hat Creek in kind of mid to late September. And yeah, crazy year, 2008.
I mean, Texas, man, you got Whataburger, you got all the other fast food places. I mean, it's like burger country down there. What's that other one? Pete Terry's is down there.
Yeah, Pete Terry's had opened. There was another one. There still is, called Mighty Fine. You know, I guess just kind of ignorance, really. I mean, you know, you just think you could. I thought I had something different. I think I realized today that, you know, really at the time I didn't. And just kept kind of pushing and tweaking and pushing and tweaking. And I love telling the story that, You know, when I started, it was like there's 0% absolute, no chance, no way on earth I'd ever do anything other than burgers, fries, and milkshakes, because that's what we were going to be. And, you know, like a year into it, I added a turkey burger. And, you know, a year later, we added a salad. And we've, you know, to this day, we've tried to maintain some simplicity on the Hat Creek side, which I think we have. But ultimately, we evolved really in 2011 into like a family-friendly, which kind of met me where I was too, you know, in life, a place, an environment for families, young families to come and hang out, and grandparents to bring grandchildren, just kind of trying to be kind of a community hangout, you know? And so if you're going to do that, we figured you got to have at least a little something for every member of the family. And so, yeah, we evolved the menu. But yeah, in the early days, I was like just dead set, nothing but burgers, fries, and milkshakes. But, you know, we had to evolve a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that kind of focus usually is a good thing early on. But talk me through, right? You start with a food truck. I mean, now you have, I think, what, 26 locations or so. So, but how do you get from food truck to your first brick and mortar location? Like, what happened? What was the mindset of, you know, why did you want to do that? Was it always financial reasons that maybe you started with a food truck?
It was largely financial. You know, to get a food truck up and off the ground takes less money than jumping straight to brick and mortar. But really, we had a guy, and it was a guy that I knew, and today, like, consider him such a close friend and, you know, family member, even though he's not. But he really appreciated our hamburgers, and he kept coming and he kept coming. And then, I mean, really, it's a wild story. Like, ultimately, I remember at one point he was like, hey, let's, you know, next time I come or whatever, let's sit out on the patio and grab a hamburger with me. And he, man, I mean, he just kind of was like, let's, in order to make this thing go, we need to get you into a brick and mortar. And so, of course, that was like, man, you know, trying to fill up water tanks every morning and get the gas company to come, you know, put gas in the propane tank. And, I mean, you know, there were just a lot of limitations that a trailer had versus a brick and mortar store. Anyway, so thankful he was like, you know, insistent. So him and my dad kind of got together in me as well. And we sort of said, look, let's try to, you know, let's try to get this from where we're at today to get a brick and mortar store open. And so we pushed, and thankful for him and putting up the money, and obviously my dad as well, and others. We went out and we raised more money. And so, but that's kind of how we went from food truck to one brick and mortar. That brick and mortar location opened in 2009. So it was a remodeled Arby's. And man, I was so proud of it. I thought it was just unbelievable. We had, you know, designed it. It was, you know, top of the line. It was, I mean, literally, I was just floored and humbled by what had become. This was Hat Creek brick and mortar. And like the first week, it was an old Arby's, had been in Austin for a long time. But I mean, I thought it looked totally different. But the first week we were open, somebody walks up to the counter and orders a roast beef and cheddar, you know, roast beef sandwich. I'm like, dude, this thing, it's not an Arby's. What do you, how can you even begin to think? So, I mean, that was another good kind of humble pie that, you know, even though I thought it wasn't an Arby's, somebody else still mistaked it for an Arby's. So, yeah. Anyways, I think that's a funny story.
Yeah. I mean, it's telling that you still remember it.
Oh, I do, dude. Because I was like, how on earth could someone ever think this was an Arby's? This is the most beautiful hamburger restaurant in America, and someone still thought it was a place for a roast beef sandwich.
Oh, man. So was that, you know, maybe just, let's call it like a spacey customer, or, you know, did you go through some maybe a lot more lessons that year with running a brick and mortar, and maybe you realized, okay, we have room for improvement?
Exactly. The latter. Like, it really did. It really did still look like an Arby's as much as I didn't think it did. But it was the perfect next kind of phase in hindsight for Hat Creek. And we were able to use that and get better, and then eventually open up a second location a couple of years later. But yeah, I mean, you know, had room for, we had to lean in on our branding and continue to dial that in and get it away from looking like an Arby's. So, but no, we learned a lot of lessons, just like we did the food truck. We learned a lot of lessons having our first brick and mortar as well.
And even, you know, for you as the founder, and I know you raised some money from, you know, I guess one of your food truck customers, and then your father chipped in. But what's your life like as a founder back then with that first brick and mortar? You know, are you working 12, 15, 16 hour days? You know, how is it running? Are you like struggling to hire people? Kind of what's the whole vibe of Drew?
That's kind of, you bet. I mean, in the trailer, yeah, right. 12, 16 hours a day. And then we started doing catering. So I have a great guy that's been with me, celebrated his 15th year actually yesterday. So he joined me in March of 2009. Yeah, because that's 15 years. So we've got great war stories about lugging trailers around in the hot Texas summer and grills and, you know, just, but you're right. I mean, it was everything. It was kind of the foundation of Hat Creek and our restaurant company. And, but it was long days and I'd go home and, you know, of course, my wife and I got a dog and, you know, the dog would love when I got home because my jeans would just be greased, you know, like cheeseburgers, you know, so she just loved when I got home, loved smelling my jeans and eating my pants and, you know, whatever. I mean, it wouldn't go back to those days in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways, they were the good old days and great memories and a lot of hard work and, you know, but no, glad for where we've kind of gotten to at this point.
And, you know, going from one to what you have today, what was the, from a financial perspective, right? Just because so many people, their biggest barrier when they want to get into restaurant ownership or franchise ownership, it's, you know, they look at folks like you, honestly, and it's like, okay, I have nothing, but I want to get to where Drew is. And capital is, you know, usually the biggest barrier. But going from one to 26, did you ever end up get to a point where you felt comfortable taking on debt and, you know, getting loans, or was it always more capital and raising?
Man, I mean, just kind of constant push, like, you know, square peg, round hole, just, but my dad was, he's just gifted in kind of that, just continuing to push no matter what, you know, right on the edge of reckless, but still with always never travel without a parachute, I think. And so I was fine to execute day to day, to continue to try to get everybody to believe that even though we weren't making money and, you know, I could see the cliff coming and like, hey, never talk about it, just keep grinding. So I'm good on that. But like, practically speaking, just to know that I had, you know, that I was traveling with other people involved that kind of had the guts and the grit as well to continue to push, because, you know, it wasn't like the trailer was just this amazing success and the first unit, this amazing success. But I think we kept seeing what could be and just continuing to try to push it forward. And so one thing after another sort of continued to fall into place, and a lot of cliffs that we almost flew off of. But, you know, somehow, some way, ultimately, we just kept the faith and kept pushing and, you know, got to 26 locations and thankfully have continued to have kind of events from whether it's banks or larger partners along the way that have kind of taken us from, you know, one level to the next to the next. So that's kind of been, you know, some of our financial journey.
And you mentioned, you know, avoiding falling off these cliffs. I know it never actually, you know, there's never like a Hollywood moment where it's like, ah, I've made it. But if there was, if there is a moment in your mind as you're looking back where, you know, when did you feel like, okay, like we've turned the corner, we're in a good spot, you know, like we're actually doing it for real and maybe you're not as worried about the cliffs, you know, is there any point in time that sticks out?
You know, as we began to grow and got into Zaxby's in 2016, and really that was a whole separate, in a lot of ways, it was run by the same management team, but it was a separate business, separate partners. But that provided, after probably 3 years of that, so really 2019, Migali, so 10 or 11 years into the full journey, you know, it felt like we got to a place where between the two businesses, we were big enough to, one way or another, take a slightly deeper breath. But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I think we're still, our culture and our mindset is just continuing to run run fast, run hard, and, you know, sort of the figurative mindset of someone's always chasing us. And, you know, that can be from competition, but really more so, it's just like an internal creed, if you will. It's not so much competition driven. It's just like, hey, try to wake up and run and, you know, see where it takes us. And, you know, so, but I think 2018, 2019, maybe we kind of just in time for COVID to kind of just totally take us off the cliff again, or, you know, put us right back on the edge of the cliff. But, you know, then that created a whole different dynamic. And of course, everyone went through that. But, you know, I would say that it took a good 10 years to kind of get to a place of some ability to take a breath.
Holy crap. I mean, that's a decade. So that's a journey, man.
Yeah, for sure.
And let's talk about Zaxby's because you mentioned it. So you said 2016, why fried chicken? Why a franchise after being independent? You know, there's a couple changes there.
Yeah, I had a friend mention Zaxby's, and so I sort of took note of it. And then probably 2 months later, I was on a day trip to go watch a college basketball game. And the guy I went with had a friend who was a franchisee at Zaxby's, and we got to talking. And I said, well, man, we're looking to sort of scale, you know, our management, our restaurant management team. And he said, well, let me introduce you to my buddy. So he did. And me and that guy, who had been a long time Zaxby's licensee, I flew to Atlanta, I toured his stores. We hit it off. Similar deal. Like, really, I played no role. I mean, I did nothing. I had a conversation, accepted an introduction, walked through the door, and me and the gentleman that had been in Zaxby's for forever, a guy by the name of Ray Goff, me and Ray hit it off. And so, you know, we said, hey, he said, I think there's some guys maybe retiring. My dad had a longtime partner that had done some financing for some stuff he had worked on. And they agreed to, if we could find some Zaxby's to buy that fit in this sort of fence, they would put up the money. And so me and Ray and my dad, and, you know, we sort of began to pursue relationships with guys that were trying to retire. And that was really in 2015. So we closed our first Zaxby's deal in September of 2016. It was 13 units from three different sellers. So that's how I got into the Zaxby's business. It was guys wanting to retire. And so we provided an exit, you know, for those guys. And still, you know, we're hungry today and we were then. And so I think Zaxby's corporate maybe, you know, appreciated that about our organization. And so that's how we got into the Zaxby's space, was buying existing restaurants and just trying to go in and do right by the brand. And of course, you know, along that journey, we fell in love with the brand Zaxby's from a franchise perspective and their founding and sort of their culture. And it was really, you know, somewhere where we felt that was a great fit for us and perfect timing. And so, yeah, I mean, just still to this day, thankful for the opportunity to be involved with such a great brand like Zaxby's.
You mentioned a few different parties there, right? I think you said Ray Goff. There was someone, a gentleman who maybe helped with the financing, and then a restaurant management team. You know, can you kind of maybe just paint a picture of the players for that first deal? Like, were you assisting the restaurant management team?
No, we were. I mean, ultimately, Hat Creek had developed a restaurant management team. And so we were trying to scale that to help with some of the financial needs on the Hat Creek side. Just, you know, trying to find scale and efficiencies, right?
Yeah.
And so that was our sort of step into solidifying what really isn't, and at that time wasn't, you know, a restaurant management team with a website and all this sort of stuff. We're still not that way, but practically that's what it was. And so it was kind of like we couldn't have stepped into the Zaxby's brand without some of the learning and some of what we had created via Hat Creek, and Hat Creek couldn't have survived, frankly, without some of the scale and opportunity that Zaxby's brought. So from that standpoint, it was perfect timing. And, you know, we had an institutional debt financing company that stepped up and financed this stuff, or financed our acquisitions. And so those were the players involved. And then Ray, you know, had been in the brand for 15 plus years, and Zaxby's would have never let my dad and I just walk in off the street, you know, and be like, oh, hey, come on in, let's buy 13 units. Really, Ray provided the entryway and the comfort level with the founders of Zaxby's, you know, that we were going to do this together. And so it was sort of, again, you know, a perfect storm and just walking through the door and kind of all the pieces sort of falling into place.
I wanted to pause for a moment again and talk about Workstream. Deb uses Workstream for her people operations at her Jimmy John's locations. And what we are discussing today with Deb is made possible by Workstream's HR technology to help source applicants, interview, and hire new employees. If you're looking to improve your restaurant store operations just like Deb is, be sure to check out workstream.us/thewolf to learn more.
Could you maybe expand on this restaurant management team component that you mentioned you built with Hat Creek? Because I've heard of this, you know, it's not the first time we've heard of this on the podcast. And, you know, I know brands, for instance, like Teriyaki Madness, I think actually have a model where they say, hey, like you just put up the capital, we're going to put in our restaurant management team to run your location. But yeah, can you talk about like, is it effectively just an ops team where if you build a restaurant, you have the guys and the people in place who can handle everything from, you know, the purchase orders for the food, you know, hiring, firing, customer service and all that? Or is there something more to it?
Basically, if you think of all the functions to run a, you know, a medium-sized organization, it's the finance, the accounting, the HR, the operations, the marketing. And so as you try to bring in higher level leaders and invest in talent, a small burger chain can't afford to bring in, let's say if the person you want to hire is a great operator, a chief operating officer, you know, Hat Creek on its own volition, let's just say, couldn't afford that. But now that we've got scale and more restaurants, more units under management, now we can. And so we could bring in a stud ops person. And if you extrapolate that out into all the disciplines of an organization, you know, ultimately you're able to sort of scale and expand based on restaurants under management. And for us, it wouldn't be like going from Hat Creek to fine dining necessarily, but Zaxby's had enough similarities without competing that over time, I mean, we're still doing this, but over time, it's allowed us to invest in our accounting function, invest in our finance, marketing, on and on and on, and for those people to build out their teams. And so if you go back all the way to the trailer where I was kind of the one-man paper hanger, then you sort of begin to add people to the, you know, the first guy I hired was the guy that's been here for 15 years, just so I had someone to help me carry the grills to the catering events. And if you sort of push that out over time, you know, you're able to kind of invest in the team and begin to bring in guys that actually know what they're doing.
I hear you. So yeah, it sounds like you needed a vehicle to...
That's bingo. That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. To kind of be able to scale the organization. And so obviously, December 2016, then you acquire your first 13 Zaxby's in one shot. So that's no small deal. Was it just a rinse and repeat process of reaching out to maybe retiring owners and saying, hey, if you want to sell, I'm your guy?
Yeah. I mean, we've always tried to do right by these sellers, take care of their people, do our best to make the negotiation process smooth. And once we land on sort of mechanics around the deal, that we perform on that. We don't, you know, reinvent the deal as we move, you know, down the path. Yeah. So just trying to do as good a job. And sometimes things are out of our control and things happen for sure. But so that, and, you know, we're traveled and, you know, we're thought of amongst others of people that can buy Zaxby's and are interested in buying Zaxby's. And that's, you know, that's been kind of our niche.
You know, have you seen a consistency in the deal terms from going from 0 to 60, right? Are you able to leverage seller financing consistently, or is it all usually, hey, no, cash up front in some form?
I feel like every deal's been different. I mean, I think it's been all in sort of the yard I've talked about, but
yeah,
sometimes we've utilized seller financing, sometimes not. Sometimes we've used traditional bank debt, sometimes not. You know, as we've grown, we've put into place more consistent and dependable sources of financing. So whereas, you know, 6-7 years ago, it was, you know, hey, we're going to close this deal, and we would, but it was like, calm and collected. And the second the meeting's over, on the phone, dialing for dollars, looking for, you know, scrambling. Whereas today, thankfully, we're not in that same boat. We've got a more dependable source of financing. So yeah, I mean, it's like everything, you know, we've continued to evolve and grow and try to get better, put better processes in place to just continue to increase batting average. So that's kind of how these deals have kind of come together, but there's certainly been an evolution.
Thinking of your individual evolution, right? Going from the food truck where you're working on it all day, wearing the grease home to where you are now. I mean, you know restaurants, at least the burgers and fried chicken restaurants inside and out. So, you know, if you were speaking to maybe someone who's looking to buy into their first restaurant, and let's say via an acquisition of sorts, whether it's a franchise or something else, you know, in this fast food-ish QSR, fast casual style world, you know, what could you tell them to, you know, say, hey, like, this is how at least you get a general understanding of, is this a quality deal or not? So I think a lot of people struggle, right, with like, they're going to try to look at financials, which, you know, depending on the owner, the financials can be a mess oftentimes. So yeah, how would you talk, you know, kind of a rookie through looking at their first acquisition deal?
That's a good question. In my head, I think start with a bank, start with a banker, which most bankers frustrate entrepreneurs, people like me and others that are trying to create jobs and opportunity. But at the end of the day, the deal market, I think, is driven by banks and bank terms and trying to understand how banks look at the world and finance things. Because, you know, certainly if you're starting from scratch, but really not, really, no matter where you're at, you need a bank. And, you know, that bank may be a friend that's putting up money, or it may be a community bank or whoever, but get to know a banker and try to understand how they look at a deal and how they make money. And then from there, you know, you can start to understand how you might be able to make money. Because you got to pay the bank back first before you can kind of move on. But I think that's, to me, that's the foundation of all these deals, is are the banks, the bank terms, and making sure these banks make money and get their money back. And that helps inform kind of how I think capital works. So that would be my advice, is to start with a local bank or community bank and understand the economics around their money.
I love it. That's great advice. And yeah, it's similar to, we had a Five Guys owner on the podcast recently, and that was similar wisdom to which he shared, which was, hey, you know, find your lender first and understand what they are going to require. And then from there you can move forward.
Yeah.
So Drew, for you and with Hat Creek and Zaxby's, what's maybe been, you know, I guess, has there been any friction between running your own restaurants where you guys can do whatever you want, right? You can change the brand, you could update the menu tomorrow if you wanted to, versus Zaxby's, and where, you know, like, I don't know how that first royalty check felt, or if it was just, hey, I knew what I signed up for. But has there been, in your mind, ever just any unexpected lessons of, you know, hey, this is a problem I have because it's a franchise, or even vice versa, where maybe like, wow, this is a lot easier than what it was for Hat Creek because I have the franchise to lean on?
I think doing Hat Creek has helped inform me on the challenges of Zaxby's. Like, I can't appreciate it, the scale that the Zaxby's corporate team operates. I mean, they've got 1,000 units and they're growing, and we've just got 26. But I can appreciate the nuance and the challenge of running your own brand. And so it's, you know, everything's not perfect all the time, but I think that there's a appreciation and respect for all the things. And certainly there's frustrations, but at the end of the day, there's just appreciation for, you know, all the moving pieces. I mean, it's really hard. There's a lot of people, a lot of stakeholders. And so, you know, I don't really look at it with any frustration. I genuinely look at it with gratitude and appreciation and feel like, you know, Zaxby's does a great job of two-way relationship. They're trying hard for the franchisees. We're trying hard to build our businesses and do right by Zaxby's. And so I haven't had a lot of big, there hasn't been any friction. There has been along the way, certainly frustrations at times, but there's, you know, I think in large and in whole, it's like, dude, freaking, as I see Zaxby's, it's one of the, truly the great franchise brands in America. And at the end of the day, there's been different leaders come through, different owners, different department leads, but man, like it's created a lot of opportunity for me. And so there's a lot of respect and, you know, kind of gratitude towards the brand.
Amazing. You went through a lot of your own lessons and did things in a way like the hard way with Hat Creek. So yeah, I can imagine it's just giving you a lot of good perspective, which maybe others don't have who maybe jump right into a franchise.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, have you ever thought with Hat Creek to franchise it yourself, or is that always going to be an independent where you guys just will build out and own all of the locations?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I think, who knows? You know, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I could see, I could get excited about either direction. You know, it's been awesome to be an independent. It affords a lot of flexibility and, you know, in some ways, a lot less headaches. I think in other ways, it sort of limits your, it could limit your opportunity and, you know, the communities that you could influence and bring, you know, Hat Creek into markets really across the country. I mean, you could do that quicker and more efficient franchising. So, gosh, I don't know. I mean, either path would be awesome. And I guess kind of like a lot of this, we'll just see sort of which direction, which doors open and which doors the brand ends up walking through.
Yeah. And speaking of that, I mean, when you look down the road, are you thinking it'll, your sights are just currently still set on Hat Creek and Zaxby's, or have you thought about other franchise brands, other industries, maybe outside of restaurants, or, you know, what's the end goal?
Yeah, I mean, I think at some point it'd be awesome to add a third brand to our orbit. You know, obviously we've got chicken and hamburgers. It'd be great to think of whatever that third brand could be. The challenge there is going to be that we're not looking to go back to the days of the trailer. I mean, we would want to get into a brand that's got scale and
yeah,
upside. So yeah, I mean, I think about that a lot, but I tell you what, this year I'm really excited about building Zaxby's. I think over the next 18 months, we've built one store out of our 60. We've bought 59. In the next 18 months, we'll probably build, you know, 6 to 8 Zaxby's ground up. And I'm so excited about doing that. And so focused on that. But I think, you know, probably in the next couple of years, we'll build, you know, a few more Hat Creeks as well. So, you know, obviously excited about that. So whether a third brand comes in or not, there's a lot of things that we're working on. A lot of things I'm excited about and a lot of good things on the horizon, I think.
Incredible. And do you have a preference of new builds versus acquisitions? You know, we actually had the most recent interview was a owner of 90 McAllister's Delis and in Texas too as well, primarily in the Dallas area, but they only do new store development, which is pretty new because a lot of the franchisees we've had on the show, they seem to say, hey, I built my first location because I needed to like find a way to get in the game, get in the system. And they're like, it was great because I learned every role. I went through kind of the pain, kind of as you're referring to like the trailer days where, you know, your early days of being the full-time operator and all that. But there's, aside from that McAllister's Deli franchisee, it's pretty common where most people are saying, like acquisitions are better. You get existing cash flow. You don't have to go through the headache of a new store build. But yeah, I'm curious, what's your take on that?
I think a good balance, you know, obviously get into Hat Creek, we didn't have a choice. We had to build from the ground up. I think inherently there's more risk. There's also more opportunity. You know, a lot of these guys that are, you know, part of the 1,000 units in the Zaxby system, man, over a 20-year run, it's really one of the great success stories. A lot of these guys, maybe on plus minus 10, you know, Zaxby's, they have a great operating business. They own a lot of their real estate. It's really an incredible business model as well. So each of them have pros and cons. I think for me, just given where we're at, we're excited about building Zaxby's and trying to prove out that sort of model for our business. But I think, you know, at the end of the day, we're probably, you know, it's probably 50-50, you know, we're excited to build and we're excited to continue to buy. For a long time, I think we were, you know, buyers only. But I think the new build brings a new energy, you know, to our organization, and it allows us to expand no matter what. We could go on a dry spell, and we have, where we can't buy deals for 24, 36 months, and that begins to be stagnant, and you begin to lose a little bit of the edge inside the culture of your business of being a growth business and trying to drive opportunity for your people. So that new building mindset just, you know, it brings energy. And so I'm excited about that. They both have their pros and their cons, but I'm excited about our next kind of iteration, which is definitely doing more development.
Awesome. It'll be fun to watch you continue to grow. So yeah, Drew, thanks for coming on the show, man. Is there any place online where people can follow you, Hat Creek, your specific Zaxby's locations? You know, what would be a good place to for them to go to?
Yeah, we don't have a website for our Zaxby's stuff, but, you know, hatcreekburgers.com is our Hat Creek website. And so, yeah, if you're around Texas or in Texas, Dallas, Austin, Houston, come get a cheeseburger. And certainly there's 1,000 Zaxby's units across the Southeast where you can get, you know, incredible chicken fingers and a few other items. So anyways, yeah, thanks for having me. This is awesome. Appreciate you taking the time.
Cool, man. Yeah, definitely. And we'll plug your website for Hat Creek in the show notes. And yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it now, man. Great website. So yeah, if you're in the Texas area, guys, definitely take a look and head over to Hat Creek. All right, man. Thanks again. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Franchise Empires. We're coming to you soon with actionable insights to take the next step on your franchise journey. So make sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen.